Welcome to our further study on the Psalms, and these Psalms portray life, and we do have our ups and downs in life, don't we? And King David was no exception. In fact, King David went through the whole spectrum of life, the joys, the sorrows, the heartaches, and he came out triumphantly. And that really is the message of the Psalms, that irrespective of what we're going through in life, we are to come out triumphantly. But nonetheless, you know, we do suffer, we do mourn, we do have our heartaches. And we're going to look at Psalm 55, which speaks of some of the heartaches that King David experienced during the middle part of his life when he was about 48, 50 years of age. And we're going to have a look at Psalm 55 together. And we're going to see some of these sorrows that David came through. But these sorrows related to his, if I could say this, his life in general. You know, he had made his mistakes. And he had indeed, if I could say this, harmed the name of God by his actions. He had fallen into adultery with Bathsheba, and the result was that the country divided because of that. Some said, well, David no longer should be on the throne. Some were very hateful towards him. There was a lack of forgiveness, a lack of compassion. And some of David's problems and attacks came from people very, very close to him. You know, sometimes we can go through trials when those trials come from people who are far away from us, who might send us letters, who might phone us, or, you know, send an email to us and say, well, I don't agree with this, I don't agree with that, and you evaluate it and you let it pass. But you see, in those days, it was quite different. You see, David was the king in Jerusalem, and result was that he was surrounded by courtiers, he was surrounded by umpteen people who were divided, and some hated him with a passion. And so he is crying out here in Psalm 55. He's really opening his heart, and he's saying, my heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me, fearfulness and tremblings. You know, unless you've had this experience, it's difficult to appreciate what David was going through. But you see, when you've got many people speaking against you, you know, that promotes fear. And even such a great man as King David was trembling because of the attacks. They were so bad, you see. He said, fearfulness and tremblings are come upon me, and the terror hath overwhelmed me. In other words, so many people were speaking against him that then he says this, oh, that I had the wings of a dove, that I would fly away and be at rest. In other words, he wanted to get out of his palace. He wanted to get out of the city. He wanted to go into the wilderness of Judah. And there he thought, well, I will be at rest. You know, recently, there was an article in a certain magazine here in the United States of America, and it gave the background to a number of presidents. And essentially, this background showed that although the presidents were in the White House and all the, shall I say, pressures that there are there in that kind of situation where anything they do is recorded, anything they do is noticed, and everybody's eyes is upon them, that they like to get away. You know, President Kennedy liked to get away to Hyannisport. Well, President Bush likes to get away to Crawford in Texas. In other words, every president, even Abraham Lincoln, liked to live away from the White House because of the pressures there. He wanted to be free from people. But those people were often for him and admired him and so forth, but not with King David. These people hated him. And because of it, he was saying, oh, that I can get away, that I can get away from the pressures. But you see, when we're talking about the things of God, you know, God sometimes puts us in a pressure cooker. And we mustn't try and get out of that pressure cooker. Because, you see, in cooking, you put the ingredients into the pressure cooker. And you put a little bit of water. And there's a steam, and tremendous pressure. And that pressure is necessary to cause the vegetables or meat, whatever you put in that pressure cooker, to bring out the beautiful juices that you appreciate in the meal. Well, in the same way, you see, God has his pressure cookers. And these pressure cookers have the purpose of working deep within our being to bring forth the nature of Christ. And so God was using, if I could say, his pressure cooker at this time, these other people gathered around, you know, speaking against King David, to work out true repentance and true purity in the heart of King David. But of course, King David was experiencing these people at first hand. And you see, one of the things that was so difficult, he said, had it been an enemy, well, I could have triumphed, he said. You know, it's normal for an enemy to hate you. You know, somebody from another country fighting against you. He said, well, that's natural. He said, I could have overcome that. And even in my own nation, you know, if it had been an enemy, well, I could have triumphed over that. But you see, it wasn't coming from the enemies so much. It was coming from his own very companions. You see, when you are in high position, for example, if you're a pastor, you know, you do not have the luxury of having many friends. You know, you cannot have close confidants. And so, on rare occasions, God provides someone for you who will guide you, help you, and be your counselor. Well, King David had, if I could say this, a small group of people around him whom he could converse with and whom he delighted to walk with and go to the house of God together. They would commune concerning the things that God had done. They would speak of the ways of God. They would speak of the law of God. You know, they would muse over the things that are so important in life. And undoubtedly, King David would open his heart to these people. And one in particular was his counselor. His name was Ahithophel. He was an equal, if I could say that, to King David. He would probably, if I could say this, use very familiar terms when speaking to King David, something that other people in his nation would not. They would prostrate themselves before the king. But no, this particular man was a great man. In fact, speaking of him, the Word of God says that it was though when he spoke, an angel spoke. He had tremendous wisdom from God, and he could guide and did guide the affairs of many people and the nation. And above all, he was a close confidant of King David himself. And you know, when you have a close confidant, you know, that's a wonderful treasure. Somebody that you can confide in, someone that you can open your heart, someone you can be, if I could say, completely transparent with. You know, one of the things that, you know, is so often true in life, that people don't want to see the flaws in their leaders. And the leader has indeed to make sure that those flaws, you know, aren't apparent, and that those flaws are rectified. He is supposed to give, if I could say this, a certain stability when he speaks, as though when he's going through a storm, he must maintain, if I could say this, an air of courage, an air of certainty, an air of hope, that yes, we're going through a time of difficulty, but we're going to triumph in that. See, that's the appearance of a leader. But you see, the leader has got his own problems too. And although when he comes before others, he can say, well, this is what we're going to do and so forth, and appear, if I could say, very strong, yet in his own heart, like King David, he has fear, he has tremblings, he has a confidence as a leader that the outcome is going to be good. But you see, he goes through his valley experiences too. And in those valley experiences, you want someone who sticketh closer than a brother. In other words, a friend. Well, King David had those people. He had people like Zadok, the priest. And he had perhaps Joab, the general of his army. But really, the one that he had most of all was a man by the name of Ahithophel. And as I've said before, the word of God says when this man spoke, it was like an angel from heaven. You know, he had such a fresh anointing upon his head, and you know, King David could confide in him and walk together to the house of God, and others would be afar off, but here this man would walk side by side with King David. And he would commune with him and say, well, we have this trouble, how do you think you would handle it, and so forth. And they would talk together, come up with a solution, and you know, there they were friends. You see, counselors together, anointed by God, appointed by God to be leaders. David certainly was a king, but Ahithophel was very close to him. He was his counselor. He was one who gave advice. You know, any leader cannot move unilaterally. You know, he must share problems with others and say, well, how do you think? And often get a consensus of opinion and then a feeling in his own heart, yes, that's the way we should move, and we move. Well, you see, King David was like that. You know, other kings were like that. You know, Hezekiah was like that. He used to commune with Isaiah. Jehoshaphat was like that. He used to commune with his counselors and reaching a consensus. They would decide what to do and they'd all go forward together. Well, King David had this man, Ahithophel. But when King David fell, well, Ahithophel did not have the grace to remain constant on the path of God. I don't know if you knew this, but Ahithophel was actually the grandfather of Bathsheba, with whom David fell and committed sin. Now here is a conflict, you see, that Ahithophel experienced. You know, he had such confidence in David being thrice anointed by God, and you know, here was the king of Israel, he was a warrior who won victory after victory. And Ahithophel, although he was a counselor of King David, certainly looked up to David as the anointed of God, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the one who indeed, if I could say this, was God's representative to the nation. And here he's done this abominable thing to his own granddaughter. Now here's the conflict Ahithophel finds himself in. You know, we say this, don't we? Blood is thicker than water. You heard that experience? You know, you are talking with people, and yes, this is right. Ah, but it affects a member of our family, and therefore all the values are changed. If it was somebody else, yeah, there would be true values. But when it comes to a member of our family, how many people have changed their values and call black white and white black when it comes to a member of their family? And here was the problem with Ahithophel. Ahithophel should have stayed with David. Ahithophel should indeed have said, yes, David, you were wrong, but David, you have indeed repented, and David, you're the anointed of God, and I'm staying with you. God is still with you, although God is going to judge you, and you know, punish you for what you've done. But David, you are God's anointed. You are the king of Israel. And I'm sticking with God's appointed man through this trial. That's what Ahitophel should have done. But Ahitophel, blood is thicker than water. And all that Ahitophel had stood for before now fell away from him. He was going to avenge, if I could say this, David's misdoings with his own granddaughter. And so there was a conspiracy, you see, and Absalom, David's beloved son, rose up against David, and Ahitophel went with Absalom. Well, can you picture the situation? Yes, David was wrong. And how many times maybe we have been wrong, you see. But being wrong doesn't mean to say you turn against somebody. No, if they have repented, it's different. Well, look at David. Look at the situation with David. He said this, you know, you were a man, mine equal, my guide, mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together. We walked together to the house of God. And, you know, you lifted up your heel against me. Well, Ahitophel made a tragic mistake. And he went with Absalom. But can you imagine the situation David was in? The son he loved the most turned against him. Ahitophel, his guide and counselor, turned against him. The two joined themselves in a conspiracy against David. And both sought to kill David. Ahitophel gave very wise counsel to Absalom. When Absalom came to Jerusalem, he said, go after David immediately, you'll catch him. And well, David had sent his own counselors to Absalom, and they contradicted Ahitophel, and God, through the prayers of King David, caused Absalom to accept the wrong counsel. And therefore David escaped. Do you know what Ahitophel did at that moment? He realized, being a very wise man, he realized Absalom has taken counsel, the wrong counsel, not my counsel, he's taken the wrong counsel. And he knew then that Absalom would be finished and David would triumph. So what did Ahitophel do? He set his house in order and went and hung himself. You see, King David prayed, let death seize upon them. And that's truly what happened. You know, those that rose up against David, they fell. Absalom, in spite of David's commandment to his army, that they were not to touch Absalom, when he came out with about 20,000 men against David to kill him, he said, look, spare the young man. Did that happen? No. Joab didn't pay any attention. He just killed Absalom. And so both those who rose up against David lost their lives. You know, in the long time that I have been a minister of the gospel, I have seen this worked out in one way or another, that those that turn against, you know, God's anointed, even though the anointed's wrong, they never prosper. You know, we must let God deal with leadership if they're wrong, and he certainly will. He certainly dealt with David. My, he had 15 awesome judgments. He lost his children. He had the sword in his own house. Oh, one thing after another came upon David. Let God do the judging, not us. Well, there we are. And so here is David. And he said, God shall hear and God shall afflict them. And that's truly the case. Now, where are you? You know, we started off by saying, well, we have trials in this life. We have the ups and downs, don't we? And though we've had great experiences in God, and we've seen God help us, you know, and we put our trust in God, you know, the one thing we must not do is to get out of the pressure cooker. Allow these trials to work in us as they did David. But David then cried out, you know, that beautiful Psalm 51, where he cries out, oh God, create in me a pure heart. All these pressures upon David caused David to turn to God and ask God to transform his character. That which had caused him to fall, David said, oh God, change my heart. Let me be another man. And then he said, I will teach transgressors thy ways. And he said, thou desirest wisdom and truth on the inward parts. Oh, this pressure cooker experience of King David transformed that noble man of God into a person whereby Jesus, when he was on earth, humbled himself to be called the Son of David. You know, we may have done wrong. We may have gotten into trouble through our own fault, and God has raised up people, even our friends turn against us, and you know, we say, oh, well, they say, actually, is there any help for him in God? But when we turn to God and say, oh, God, yes, I've done wrong. I realize these things that I'm experiencing are your pressure cooker to change my life. Then, you know, God comes on our behalf, and God awesomely judges those who raise themselves up against us. You know, it's the end of the matter that counts. I travel amongst the nations, and I was in another nation, in fact, one of the nations of Africa recently, and someone had done something very, very wrong to one of my friends. And I said, well, you know, how is it working out? Well, he said, at the moment, it's not good. But he said, one thing that God has put within my heart, we haven't seen the end of the matter. Oh, the end of the matter. How important the end of the matter is. You know, we see people sometimes doing wrong and sometimes prospering. It looked as though Absalom and Ahithophel were going to triumph. But, oh, the end of the matter was quite different. Sometimes you think, well, my enemies are triumphing. They seem to be blessed of God. Yes, well, that's what my friend said. Yes, those people that have risen up against me seem to have triumphed, but God has put within my heart these words, you haven't seen the end of the matter. And for David, the end of the matter was this, that although thrust out from his kingdom by Absalom and Ahithophel, who were seeking his life, well, it looked as though David had lost, and Absalom and Ahithophel were triumphant, and the whole of Israel was with them, and it looked as though, well, David was finished. But no, you see, although they said, well, there's no hope now for David from God, oh no, David's heart was right before God. He had repented. He had turned to God. He had allowed these pressures to work in him. And so the end of the matter was this. Absalom and Ahithophel lost their lives, but David was restored to the kingdom. And how wonderful that is, that work of restoration. You know, the work of restoration wasn't just bringing David back to the kingdom. But that work of restoration was of such a nature that David was lifted to a higher height than he'd ever known before. In fact, most of the Psalms are written after he was restored. And oh, what wonderful revelation God gave to him. And we can say truthfully that when God restores, like he restored Job, he had a far greater wealth, a far greater blessing from God that he'd never known before the trial. And so I want to encourage you as you listen these closing moments of this tape, that if you're going through times of difficulty, I want you to encourage yourself in this story of David. You might be going through trouble because of what you have done. It might be because God wants to work something out in your nature, as he did Job. But you know, remember these little words, the end of the matter. Oh, the end of Job was so much greater than his former days. The end of David was far greater than his former days. And I want to give you the assurance, if you'll stay in that pressure cooker and get right with God and ask God, you know, to do his blessed work in your heart, then the end of the matter will be that you'll come out on a far higher plane than you've ever known before. A greater intimacy with God, a greater anointing, a greater appreciation of his word and an understanding of his ways. And you will experience a level of blessing that you have never known before. So I want to encourage you. Just remember these words, and please don't forget them. It's the end of the matter that counts. God bless you.